Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. As we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, who I have a feeling will not be my friend today. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Another biscuit.
Nice. Keeping it going.
Yeah.
You miss it too. See, everybody misses the biscuit.
But nobody misses the game winner at Lambeau.
Oh.
Sure. Even Cairo Santos.
Wow.
You know, the Packers lost one game this year to a team with a losing record.
It was the Chicago Bears.
We're all like the Lions and the Eagles, and the Bears went in. And yes, Jordan Love left the game. But even when Jordan Love was playing, I recall a Packer team that was losing.
That is true. The fake punt got us.
So, yeah.
Way to pull out all the stops for the big rivalry game at the end of the year.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there are three people on the show right now, two who saw their team win, one who saw their team lose a not meaningless game, and have to go to Philadelphia in round one.
That's true.
Have a good time with that.
That's true. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome next week. So, Corey, it is Black Monday in the NFL. The firings and retainings are already taking place around the league right now. What's your sense for what we could see today with the Titans? Now, Brian Callahan has a press conference at 1:30, so that would tell me that he's probably safe and that he's going to be the head coach of the Titans moving forward here. What about the front office? What do you expect to happen here now that the season is over?
Well, I'm going to go Sheldon Cooper, Stephen Hawking, and invoke pure mathematics on this. Okay. The AFC South is hands down the biggest dumpster fire in the National Football League. Do you know how many wins that division had the entire year?
I do not off the top of my head.
25. I'm not smart enough to tell you how many of those came within the division. But so outside of the division, there wasn't a whole lot of winning that was done. And to think that every GM in that division that won 25 games is going to come back is pretty amazing. So knowing that Trent Baalke and all his genius is being retained to put together another greatest roster in Jaguars history, and knowing that Chris Ballard is going for a ninth straight year of not winning the division, I don't know how mathematics allows Rand Carthon to survive.
By the way, 13 non-division wins for the AFC South this year.
And how many of them? And the Texans had four of them, right? Or five?
Yeah, because
five.
Yes, exactly.
Texas had five.
They had five of them. So yeah, so between the other three, you spread around eight wins.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, the AFC and NFC South
team.
Pretty bad.
The Titans got a Dolphins team with Stephen Hawking at quarterback, and
that's the second Stephen Hawking reference.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Carl Sagan. Can we give Carl Sagan some
Carl
love today?
Carl Sagan, yeah. Yeah. That's Joe Milton launching balls into space.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Joe Milton was incredible yesterday.
To the
Patriots' chagrin.
Somebody's going to trade for him and make him their starter. I saw Chase Daniel tweet that out yesterday.
Oh, good.
Okay, so, yeah, it's astounding to me, Corey. Ballard in particular is just – it's wild. But so the math tells you that
Somebody can't make it.
Somebody, yeah. So if those two are okay, Texans are obviously fine. So what you're saying is the math tells us that something's happening with the Titans. I think that's a it's a fair way to look at it.
I think it would be stunning in the division that won 25 games if everyone was back.
But I guess maybe that's why it's a division that won 25 games, right?
It could be.
What a scene. So, Corey, they do have the number one overall pick with Joe Milton's heroic performance in New England yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, as we sit here today on January the 6th, knowing that we're going to be talking about this draft for the next 3.5 months, what do you make of the opportunity now in front of the Titans as it relates to having the number one overall pick, your initial impressions of this draft, and does the number one overall pick, having that, influence the decision that Amy Adams Strunk is going to make and the responsibility that comes with that with the front office?
Well, number one, you hope to never pick number one again. So, yes, I think it does, because you have to trust this person to execute that pick. And I'm not just saying picking a player, but whether you pick or you trade. And so, you know, it's different than picking seventh. Because you will never have more draft capital with the top pick than you have now. And, you know, one of the best things John Robinson did was trade away that first pick and, you know, got a bunch of players, you know, with it. And this team needs a bunch of players, so that might be the way to go. But I think, you know, you have to look long and hard and say, you know, do I trust this operation with this pick? And that's not to say to pick the next quarterback of this team, because, you know, that's a question whether you're picking 7th or 10th or 23rd. I mean, you've got the first pick, and this is an important decision because you've got to make the most of it, whether it be with an individual player or with a trade and getting the most of players. And so I think that's all important. I put up a poll last night, and I think it was basically 2 out of 3 fans wanted to see the Titans trade out of this pick.
Do you look at those two QBs? I know there's other QBs too, you know, that are in the draft. But do you look at those guys, either of them, and say, "Ooh, I could see that being a great player in the NFL"?
You know what? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this: I don't know if I ever watched Pat Mahomes play in college. So,
same.
I mean,
not much.
I mean. And, you know, I've watched Shadur, and he's a good player. Watched Cam Ward some, and, obviously, he's a good player, but I don't know that he's a match for the head coach, and I think that goes into it. And so, you know, we're going to have some time to hash that out, you know, to go over the nuances of it. That, look, I'll put it this way. They're not Andrew Luck. They don't leap off the page at you or you know, even look back at Caleb Williams' career where you're like, all right, yeah, you know, gotta take this guy. Or Jaden Daniels last year. Do you think either one of these guys coming out this year gets picked ahead of Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels if they're coming out this year?
No. Oh, no way. Yeah. Probably not even Drake May. Nor Drake May.
Yeah, okay. So we're saying not a slam dunk, all right? And you can't – the number one pick is tricky. Because I always say, if you think a guy is a franchise quarterback, you take him. It doesn't matter where you're picking. If you think he's a franchise quarterback, you don't apologize. You take him and you move forward. But you can't hope a guy that taking him number one makes him a number one player. I mean, it doesn't work that way. And by the way, there's not a great track record on number one picks in quarterback right now.
No, certainly not. Corey, so let's say this conversation is taking place today or has taken place over the last couple of weeks here, and you're Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, and you're meeting with Amy Adams Strunk trying to save your job. What are you telling her? Like, what's the plan moving forward?
Well, I think, look, I like that question, Robbie, because I always get asked, especially by, you know, Stillman, about firing people. And it's always, when you're 3-14, it's a legitimate question. But, you know, just like I say with David Poyle, you know, when they were talking about should he be back, I always want to know what's your plan. You know, before I make, you know, this decision, we're here. What is your plan to get us out of here and back to the top? And if I think that plan is sound and believe in your ability to execute it, then I might be willing to stick with you. But if I think your plan is to talk Tom Brady out of retirement, then I'm going to go get somebody else. Okay, so I think that that's that's an important question and an important way, you know, to move forward with this. But, you know, what is their plan? Actually address the right tackle situation. I think that that would be helpful. But the biggest plan has got to be at quarterback. You know, what is their plan to get more out of that position? Because I think I said it on the show last week, they have to get the points that are there first, because they don't even get all the points that are there. They miss opportunities. They give points away, and they've got to stop giving points away and get the points that are there. By the way, scored more points than last year still, which is hard to believe.
That really is.
But that's how bad the offense was last year. And so I think, figuring out a long-term solution, which basically means drafting more good football players, because we've seen when you try to play fantasy football and plug and play with veterans, it doesn't work out real well, or at least in this case was another case where it didn't work out real well. They're going to have to draft well, and they've got to have a clear-cut plan. And, you know, do they want to acquire more picks? You know, do they want the Barry Trotz approach and tender the draft with 700 picks? Barry's going to be the busiest man in the world when an NHL draft gets here. I think that's important. What is your plan, and how do you get the quarterback situation through the next few years until you can finally draft somebody?
You know, I know Robbie wants to get more into this topic, so I do want to close with this, Corey. So on this day of reveling for you as a Bears fan, do you think Caleb Williams is going to be great? Is he going to be worth that pick and all the hype and everything?
I think this was a disappointing year for him, but I think there was also a level of incompetence within, you know, the organization. Obviously, I was, when I watched him play, and you could tell me what you think, was there too much for him having to see a guy open before he threw it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right, that was what I thought. I'm like, he's having to stare a guy open before he's willing to let it go. And, you know, so he's going to have to learn to let it fly quicker. But I still think the ability is really high. And the ability, we talk about Levis with arm talent. Williams is another level. I mean, he is just capable of some ridiculous plays, you know, with the football. And I think with a quality head coach and staff that gets back to running the football, last year the Bears were the number two running offense in the NFL. And this year, for some reason, they get Caleb Williams and they inexplicably forget how to run the football. And I just really think that, you know, a lot of coaches, and I think we've seen some of them figure it out, that just because you have a young quarterback doesn't mean you have to throw it 50 times a game. I think John Harbaugh in L.A. is a great example of this. They got better by throwing it less with a really good young quarterback. Okay? You don't have to throw it 50 times a game. You can throw it more efficiently, okay, and be more productive. You can turn it over less because it's not in the air so much, or the quarterback's not in jeopardy so much. And I think we are going to see a stage where these teams maybe take a step back and not put so much on some of these young guys and actually let them develop like Brady was allowed to develop, like Roethlisberger was allowed to develop. I mean, those guys didn't come into the league throwing 40, 50 passes a game. They threw like 21 passes a game their first year or two. And so I think, you know, Caleb Williams, we'll see where he is in year two. I think the talent is still outstanding. I think, you know, the team's roster is actually better than what they showed this year. They were 4-2 at one point. But they've got to make the right head coaching hire, and they've got to get everybody pulling in the same direction. I'm going to sound cliche there. And it doesn't help when you play in one of the best divisions ever. I mean, that division this year, I mean, find me other divisions that have been that strong. I mean, we just had our first ever game between two teams with 13 victories.
Yep, pretty wild. Corey Curtis, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff. Going to be an interesting day today, an interesting week, and we'll talk to you next week.
It will be interesting. And, you know, we didn't talk about this. The season ends for the Packers the way it started with the game against the Eagles.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt about that. Corey?
You guys are going to win the Super Bowl now that I gloated.
I hope so. Corey Curtis with us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll take your reaction to the Titans, 615-737-1025. Brian Callahan addressing the media later today. What's going to happen with Rand Carthon? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. They lose to the Houston Texans yesterday, dropping to 3-14 on the season. Number one overall pick headed their way. And now today on Black Monday, what happens with the Tennessee Titans? Brian Callahan is addressing the media later today at 1:30. So you would think that he's probably safe and that he will be the Titans head coach heading into next year. What about Rand Carthon? What about Chad Brinker? What does today look like for those two? Is there a chance that the Titans move on from their front office? Joe, as we sit here today at 8:22 on January the 6th, your thoughts on where things currently stand with the Titans front office and what we could see moving forward here?
Well, I think head on a swivel. I think anything is possible. I would not think Callahan being fired is too possible. But we have seen other, as you pointed out earlier, we saw the Bears trot out a coach to a presser and then fire him right after that. It was a sweet move by that
excellent
organization. So I suppose it's possible. Yeah, I have to read Callahan having a presser today as Callahan's fine, which I think he should be after 1 year. Front office, I don't know. I mean, we're going to find out. I sense, look, some of the people who cover this team on a daily basis, I believe, got some whispers in ears about no big moves are happening. I think, maybe a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago.
Yep.
I detected a little change in tone from Kaharski when we talked to him earlier. He wouldn't really – say much, but I detected a little bit of a change in tone. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but I head on a swivel. I do want to read Jake and Greenbrier on Callahan.
Okay.
On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, locking out Robbie Stanley, as always. There's the suits in there. By the way, he's going to bring the biscuit back tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting.
Also gave me all
a lot of people will be fired up about that.
He gave me all these new clothes, and he continues to lock you out of the text line. Jake says, Callahan showed me absolutely nothing this year. He needs a couple years as an OC and a play caller before he's ready to lead a team. I think he needs to go. He lacks the in-game feel and command you see from the league's good head coaches. Carthon was brought in with a coach of the year. That coach is fired. He got to pick his guy who led them to the number one pick. I personally think it's a golden opportunity to reset with a new stadium opening after the next two seasons. So I think that's a clean house endorsement. Plenty of people, including you, like that. As a possibility, as the option, as the best option. I think if there's a move, it appears it's going to be front office, not coach. Which, if you're Callahan, I mean, obviously, if you keep your job, that you prefer that than to not. But also, you get brought in a year ago, and now it's like, and by the way, Brian, we're changing up the people you work with.
Well, and don't you kind of feel like dead man walking at that point anyway? He doesn't have to play out that way, right? Like, look. Vrabel and Robinson didn't come in on the same timeline, but they worked well together. Now, Vrabel was Robinson's hire. So
exactly.
there's that part of it.
But. And Carthon went hard after Brian Callahan, and they wouldn't let him, they wouldn't let him leave and all that stuff. And that's his guy.
Exactly. So, if you do move on for the front office, more times than not, those guys want to bring in their own people. Maybe it doesn't happen immediately, but after 1 year, are they looking around? Like the Titans go, 7-10 next year, they look around saying, well, that's great. You guys showed a little bit of improvement, but thank you, Brian, for your services. I'm going to hire my own guy now moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, it would be nice whenever the next move is made to get everybody on the same timeline. That would be nice to get back to that at some point.
It's hard to get there sometimes.
It is.
The Bears are a great example. The Bears also, again, a great example of a bad franchise. Sorry, Corey. They suck. But good win over the Packers. But, I agree. You prefer that, look, I mean, obviously Vrabel and Carthon, didn't work out. Again, it wasn't like a contentious thing, but Vrabel didn't think Carthon was ready to be a GM.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to. So they let Carthon go get his guy, a very popular guy who was definitely up for other jobs. And then a year later, you may be, you know, potentially changing that up.
Well, it's a
bad situation.
Well, I still wonder, too, does having the number one overall pick influence this discussion in terms of the Carthon Breaker part of it? We've known for weeks and weeks that they were going to be bad and that they were going to finish with a high draft pick. We know that. The fact that it's now the number one pick, does that change things? I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, do you trust, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker to be the ones identifying what to do with that number one overall pick? You know, if it's a quarterback, I would imagine Brian Callahan is going to be a big part of that. Like, Brian Callahan, to me, is probably the number one voice in the room when it comes to the quarterback decision, if that's the way you're going to go with your draft pick. You know, he's going to be involved no matter what it is. But if it's Abdul Carter, if it's Travis Hunter, if it's trading down, like, do you trust Brian? Do you trust Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker to make the right decision with the number one overall pick?
Yeah. And look, if you're Amy Adams Strunk and you're asking yourself that question today, then fire him. I mean, you know, like if you don't fully trust that they can make that, you know, that they can make good choices, then there's your answer, right?
Well, I think it'd be hard to fully trust them. I don't know how we would get to fully trust them.
Well, right. I mean, not like I know they're going to.
Right.
But I mean, trust to me is like, I'm paying them a lot of money to do this job. I believe they can do it. If you really are questioning that today, and you're Amy Adams Strunk, then you should move on. And you will be ridiculed heavily for it. But
we have Rand. We have a promising young quarterback.
I need another one of those.
Goodness.
Are we going to get another, like, sit down with Mike Keith? Maybe Adam Strunk?
Someone who, by the way, and like half the YouTube, going to the Vols.
Half the YouTube chat is convinced that Mike Keith won't be here and will be there.
Probably not.
Next play-by-play man for Tennessee.
You know, I never answered that question, by the way. That was like Kenny the Mailman at like 6 a.m., right?
Yeah.
I think there's I have thought the whole time that it's possible. I head on a swivel on that, too.
Could be a lot of things changing.
Keep the head just spinning around like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. Don't puke green.
7371025. More of the Titans coming up next. Your reaction to the number one overall pick. And what should the Titans do with Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, and Chad Brinker? More of your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Now, PK did text us and say that the Brian Callahan press conference was scheduled yesterday. So I guess it's not necessarily out of the realm possibility that they could decide to move on from everybody today and not have that press conference. But we'll see.
Okay. Yeah, because I did, when you said that earlier, I thought that you had just got something.
Well, Jimmy Wyatt put it out earlier.
Okay, so that was from a Wyatt tweet.
Yes.
So what is Jimmy Wyatt doing? What are you trying to say, Jimmy Wyatt?
I don't know.
He's trying to throw us off.
It's a good question. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. So yeah. Far, nothing for the Titans. Now, there's, you know, we're just now getting into kind of the meat of the morning part of the news cycle here. It's 8:30 our time, 9:30. Eastern time. The Jaguars have fired Doug Peterson. The Giants have announced that their group is coming back. Obviously, we know the Colts announced last night that their group is coming back. And the Patriots fired Gerard Mayo, what felt like 11 minutes after the game went final yesterday. So some of these teams have come out. Apparently, the thing is to just make a statement now, right? And regardless of what you're doing, that's what you do.
If
the NFL has just come out,
if you're not amazing, I guess if you're not a playoff team, is that the rule? If you're a non-playoff team, you must put out a statement explaining that you're not firing people.
I guess so.
There's some surprises. There's definitely some surprises. Again, during the break earlier, you were reading Diana Rossini tweeted, you know, that there's a lot of surprise around the league. Right, about the Giants
and Balky. Yeah.
What about Chris freaking Ballard?
That's the one that continues to baffle my mind. Like, Chris Ballard, I think next year will be like his ninth year, and it's the same thing year after year. I can't for the life of me understand what they're doing there in Indianapolis.
Like, there's blackmail material, or I guess he just gets a lifetime pass because Andrew Luck quit in the middle of a preseason game. I don't know, man.
I guess so.
I mean, look at just everything.
Yeah.
Coy in Clarksville on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, in which I now have access to.
What?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing with the number one pick, Robbie and Joe? If you cannot trade, who do you stick and pick with? We're going to have this conversation a lot over the next few months. The guy that I want as we sit here today on January the 6th, Joe, is Abdul Carter. That's who I want. I'm not in love with either of the quarterbacks, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. If they ended up with Travis Hunter, great. That's fine with me, too. But the guy that I want, as we sit here today, is Abdul Carter.
Yeah. I'd probably answer Travis Hunter right now, but I'm intrigued by Abdul Carter, and if he's that guy, you know, the Parsons comparisons are inevitable. He's not the same. I mean, Parsons is – obviously, if you could have 75% of Parsons and you're jumping,
I would sign up.
Absolutely jumping all over it. I don't – you know, but he's – a legit big-time player. May, by the way, you know, a lot of people could potentially get to see him this week, although I'm not sure that he's playing for certain against Notre Dame. But it's close between those two. And, yeah, with the quarterbacks, from what I know of them, I would not do that. I would not do that. I would not draft. If I had to draft a quarterback, it would be Sanders.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, mine will be Deion's kid too, Joe. Although, I guess me and you are disagreeing a lot this morning. Robbie, I think you're crushing it, man. So maybe some of that can rub off on Joe. Levis back in the building. I don't want Levis back in the building either. I didn't know if you guys caught his comments in the locker room afterwards, but a lot of cringy material for sure. I do know that he said something about, doesn't matter who they draft, I'll beat them out. And they need to add more wrinkles to the offense. Then you'll start seeing it getting better. I'm like, dude, what? Like, we're a 3-win team, and like none of them came with Levis. It was all so bad. But that's, I mean, we're just so far from anything fun in life right now with the Titans, man. It's all so sad. But I don't know if you caught that little clip from the locker room, but it was real ugly.
Thank you for the call, Adam. I did see him talking about, you know, wanted to add more to his plate next year. In terms of like the offense, and felt like he could have done that this year. And it's like, well, once you start by not handing the football on a silver platter to the other team, and then you can start adding more to your plate next year.
I mean, look, I miss the I'll beat out whoever they draft or whatever.
Yeah, I miss that too.
Good for him.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That's not cringy.
Now, look, I said it earlier in the show. I think yesterday needs to be the last time that we see Will Levis in a Titans uniform. And, you know, PK brings up good points. You know, it's going to be tough enough for them to find one quarterback this offseason. They're going to do it. It's going to either be in the draft or a veteran in free agency. You know, what about finding two? Like, do you go find a different starter and a new backup? It's not like that's some impossible thing, but there's not a litany of great options that are out there. But my standpoint on it was basically this. Like, you know, they just drafted Will Levis to be the franchise guy, and he's not. So do you want that guy just kind of hanging around in the room and just being there? It's nothing against Levis. Like, I don't think that Levis would be like some huge distraction in a locker room. I don't think that he would handle it poorly. I don't think he would be a bad teammate. But you just don't see that happen very often in the NFL where that guy hangs around. And number two, he's not really what I want my backup quarterback. Like, he turns the ball over too much. I want a backup quarterback that takes care of the football. And Mason Rudolph was supposed to be that. He didn't really take care of the football this year either. But, you know, Levis, to me, is too much of a wild card to be the backup quarterback for this team moving forward.
Is it possible someday that the coach the Patriots just fired could unite with the former Titan starting quarterback? Can you imagine the commercial possibilities? And could they go – like, we're getting to the point with, like, college eligibility that, like, you know, you can be, like, 33 and be in college, play college football. How about the Duke's Mayo Bowl for these two? Huh?
Levis
can
and
you
Mayo. Imagine? Back
my
at
goodness.
It. Could be.
Thank you.
Could be.
I tried to step up my game because Adam said I'm not crushing today.
He did say that. No, just an absolute stray you
my
just took.
My goodness. He got me, man. He got me.
Absolutely.
But apparently we missed some interesting comments out of the game. Mike in Lebanon says, I want Simmons gone. So tired of his talk versus his play. He's not a leader. I will say this for Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, I thought he spilled it this year in the second half of the year when things were toast. I mean, I understand sometimes he says stuff that's like, a little bit of, kind of subtweeting the secondary or whatever. You know, I have to go back and see some of the stuff he said yesterday. But well, I think Simmons deserves a little bit of respect for how he played down the stretch in this lost season.
I think he was fine down the stretch. Now, one thing that he's not an elite player. Like, Jeffrey Simmons is not an elite player.
He is a good player.
Right.
Now.
He's a good player. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, but they're paying him to be one of the elite defensive linemen in the league. And yeah. I don't know that he's that anymore. So
I
what
agree.
Does that mean for that defense moving forward?
I agree. I also, by the way, Landry had a big game yesterday, but he's been kind of absent for a while, right? That's where it does get interesting with that, too, and contract situations. I will say, though, even with Simmons, I agree he is overpaid for his production at this point and his disruption. I still would, if I'm coaching this team, I still would want him and Sweat back together to be a strength of that defense to build around.
Well, if not, you're just creating another hole that you got to go find at that point, right? Like they don't really need to be in the business right now of creating more holes for their roster.
Yeah, even good, very good, average players and above – keep all those because you don't have a lot.
Right. I mean, you've got, to me, a lot of work to do at wide receiver. I mean, almost an entire revamping to do at wide receiver. Like, Tyler Boyd was on a one-year deal. My guess is he's probably not coming back next year. We'll see what they do with NWI. But, like, right now, to me, you're looking at Calvin Ridley and NWI if you bring him back. And then after that, it's a reshaping of the room. Like, Burks, I have no idea when he's going to be recovered from the ACL. And even if he is, what does that mean? Probably nothing. So, like, there's a lot of work to do at wide receiver. I still think tight end needs to be addressed. I know that Chig had a couple of nice games at the end of the year, but I think tight end needs to be addressed. What is Snead's availability going to look like next year? You know, corner's way down the list, but if you're concerned about him, do you have to address that this offseason? What about Cushenberry? Like, there's a lot they're going to have to figure out this offseason.
Yeah. Well, one of the – like, corner needs to be – to me, like, you just can't – you have to hope that works out. It's a hope.
Or you draft Travis Hunter. One, two.
That's true. I just said I'd draft Travis Hunter, didn't I? Yeah, I still would, though. Because if you can get a guy who as good as I think he will be
– I'd let him play both sides of the ball until he proves to me that he can't. That'd be my approach with Travis Hunter. Like, yeah, we'll see. You can play wide receiver a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe that's what I'd love to know is how many – you know, break him down, and we'll have plenty of time for this. Like, how many teams have him as a receiver first? How many teams have him as a – I think most teams are going to have him as a corner.
I agree, but the bottom line is they need him way more as a receiver right now than they do as a cornerback.
Yeah. Draft him as a – and just say you'll play receiver the first 2 years so we fix the room, and then you'll go back to corner?
You're playing corner. I don't know.
Sure.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll get you updated on the latest on Black Monday in the NFL coming up next. More of your thoughts on the Titans acquiring the number one pick with their loss to Houston yesterday as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We have 75% off everything right now at thegamenashville.com/deals. All of Nashville's best deals are marked down lower than ever. If you're like us, spend a little too much over the holidays, or you forgot a gift or two, this deal is for you. Just head to thegamenashville.com/deals for 75% off great eats like 312 Pizza, Black Rabbit, and Princess Hot Chicken, plus offers on movies, experiences, and adventures as well. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/deals. Final thoughts on the Titans as we sit here today on Black Monday. Nothing from the Titans yet in terms of Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, some moves happening around the league. Doug Peterson fired by the Jaguars, not necessarily a surprise there. The Giants retaining their crew up there at head coach and general manager, which I think is surprising to a lot of people around the league. And the Cincinnati Bengals have just fired their defensive coordinator as well after missing the playoffs, so not necessarily a surprise there either.
Yeah, Lou Anarumo, by the way, you know, very familiar with Brian Callahan.
He is.
Someone got after us on the text line before you were – back when the glory days when you were iced out of it and I could control the narrative completely.
Yes.
But got all over us for never talking about Denard Wilson's job status. I will say, you know, and pointing out that, like, before the season we were like, oh, I'd run through all. Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, Denard Wilson's pressers are awesome. Just like, I mean, Brian Callahan's pressers are awesome too. It doesn't do much for you on the football field. I think their defense this year overall was – decent, at times good, at times not good. They had weird games. I mean, shoot, they gave up 200-plus yesterday on the ground. They gave 335 up to the Colts a couple weeks ago. They're erratic. They had injuries. That's just down the list for me. I mean, the issue with this team is trying to fix the offense. Of course, they have to get better on defense. But I thought it was a decent first year as a DC for him.
I would agree. Now, we gotta end the nobody runs the ball in Tennessee Titans narrative because they broke off a nice little 92-yarder yesterday again. So, gotta show up to run defense heading into next year. But certainly, the big problems on this team right now on the offensive side of the ball. Look, I'll be stunned if in the next day or two, Colt Anderson isn't fired on special teams. So you're going to see a change there, I would think. I mean, if you don't, you talk about some reaction. Well, that'll be interesting. But I would think that's going to happen. But there's a lot of work to do on offense. And this, if Brian Callahan's back, this is a big test of him too. Like, this did not go well for Brian Callahan this year under any way you want to slice it. Does it doom him to absolute failure as a head coach in the NFL? No, not necessarily. But it also did not really speak well of his ability to come up with answers this year. And that, to me, was probably the most disappointing part of his year this year. I just didn't feel like there was enough answers that were found. And I realize the roster is not good, but there just wasn't enough that was found this year. I do want to get to this. I got a text that says, numerous media guys, including you guys, reported Vrabel is obviously running things at St. Thomas Sports Park, Rand's first year. Cowden and Vrabel built and stacked the draft board. Rand had some say, I'm sure. All that said, doesn't scream Carthon got his quarterback. Not to me. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Yeah. Well, yeah, look, this is the problem with the multiple timelines and, this coach with this GM, now this GM with this next coach that he chooses. I mean, look, the first draft to me, I mean, ultimately you have to, you have to count it on the record. But it is true that Cowden ran the draft board. Now, again, Cowden running the draft board, some people took that as Cowden made all the picks for them. That's not the same thing.
Well, let's clear this up right now. We never reported anything like Vrabel is obviously running things over at St. Thomas Sports Park. We actually threw out there, who is running things over there? Because they wouldn't tell us anything about it.
Yeah.
That's what the conversation was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
So we can try to change facts if we want to, but that's not what happened.
I think that's Kenny G who just tweets like a drunken sailor all day and, for the most part, doesn't say a lot.
There you go. Shout out to Kenny G.
No offense to Kenny G's music. I celebrate his entire collection. Denard Walker. I'm sorry. Not Denard Wilson. Sorry, PK.
Yes,
Denard Walker.
Denard Walker.
Learn his name before next year, PK. Let's have that as an offseason.
I look forward to that coming up on Wednesday, too. Bottom line is this. Number one, we'll keep our eyes peeled, ears to the ground on what's going to happen or not happen with the Titans head coaching, the coaching staff in the front office throughout the day and the week as we move forward here. The journey to get to this point has been brutal. This was, if not the most brutal Titan season of football to watch, certainly within the top two. Like, it was awful to watch this team play football this year. Now we're through it, and the question is, how do they get themselves out of it? Can they get themselves out of it? And how big of a deal is the number one pick to do that? We saw it in 2016. They had the number one pick. They traded back with the Rams, and it ended up being a great thing for this franchise. They got a lot of nice draft capital that turned into some really good players for them for a long time, and was a big part of propelling them to the success that we saw during that run. Is that possible with this draft? Is this draft deep enough where you could land that? Is there going to be an ability to trade back? Is there a franchise quarterback in this draft? And most importantly, are the right people in place to make sure that whatever the best case scenario is for the Titans, that's what they achieve? Lots to figure out over the next few months.
Yep, and that last thing, we will have clarity. Of course, we knew nothing would happen while we're on the air. But as soon as we walk out the building, maybe we'll find something out. But the primary takeaway, and this is kind of a nod to Eli from Smyrna, the primary takeaway for me is that the Titans suck.
Yeah. They have sucked.
I feel confident in that take.
Yeah. I mean, number one draft pick. Worst pick in the league.
Yes, that's what it means. Matthew Nashville asking where this ranks with Wizen Hunt years. We've talked about that a lot. I think low
it's
point.
Right,
we hit low point already. Yeah. So I'd say here we are.
It's right there. I mean, this is as low as, go back and look at that crowd yesterday. I realize the weather's a factor there too, but Some of the photos at kickoff yesterday, I was like, good gracious. It is pick your own section day at Nissan Stadium.
And shout out to those people who showed up. Absolutely. Cheering on, by the way.
Absolutely. We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game on Black Monday in the NFL, the day after the Titans secure the number one overall pick. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You are listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
21 plus terms and conditions apply.